of all of the praises. Come on, what a happy day. It's Good Friday. Come on, we came to celebrate Jesus. Amen. And what he did for us on the cross. Amen. And I used to hear my grandmama say, it don't take a whole lot of people to lift the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's all because of Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. Amen. Before we begin, Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Well, Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. You can call him up and tell him what you want. If you want the Holy Ghost, tell him what you want. If you want the Holy Ghost, tell him what you want. If you want the Holy Ghost, tell him what you want. You can call him up and tell him what you want. Amen. Come on and give God some more praise. Amen. Truly, he is worthy of all of the praises. Amen. Stand with me, if you would, our scripture tonight can be found in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew, the 27th chapter. Matthew, the 27th chapter, beginning at verse 27. Amen. And it reads, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him, put him on a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spat on him, and took him and reed and smote him on his head. Verse 31, and after that they mocked him. They took the robe off of him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to be crucified. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto the place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, and they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. Verse 35 says, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word, for the good and the edifying of our souls. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, again tonight, Lord, we thank you for this privilege. We thank you for this opportunity to come together to give your name the praise, to give your name the honor, to give your name the glory, to uplift you to the highest. Father, we remember what you did for us on the cross, and we say thank you tonight. Father, thank you that it was you that hung, bled, and died. On Friday, they nailed you to the cross. And Father, you said 3 days, destroy this body. And on the third day, you would rise again. Tonight, Lord, we come to celebrate this day, this hour, this moment, Father, of your last sayings of what you did for us while you hung there on the cross. And thank you, Lord, that it was you that redeemed mankind. Thank you that it was you that set mankind free. And it was you, Father, that rose again with all power in the palm of your hands. And we thank you for that tonight. Now, Lord, we come to lift you up. Bless now these preachers, and Father, as they come, Father, to honor you, Father, give them preaching power, give them teaching power, give them the clarity, Father, that they can pour into us the things you would have us to know. Father, send your Holy Spirit right now, Father. Come now, Holy Spirit, sup with us. Manifest your spirit within us, that, Lord, we do what you would have us to do. And in the end, Lord, you will get the glory. It is in Jesus' name we say amen, amen. Come on and give God some more praise. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. At this time, we're going to begin our program of the last seven sayings of Christ. Amen. Number one, which can be found in the book of Luke, the 23rd chapter. The book of Luke, the 23rd chapter. Amen. Give me just a moment to get there. Luke, the 23rd chapter, verse 34. And it reads, and he said, the 23rd chapter, verse 34. It reads, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen, amen. We're going to ask at this time if Dr. Kimball would come and give us our first saying tonight of the seven sayings of Christ. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. Dr. Kimball. Shine on me. Shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Somebody say that. Shine on me.
Reverend Kitchen already there. gave the indication, but I like to read two. And when they came to the place called Calvary, they was going to crucify him. And they manifest one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Let's read the last verse together. And they parted from his arrangement and locked clothes. I would like to use the title is, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You got to start something to finish. You can't finish nothing that you can't start. Is that right, Pastor? Right. Jesus came to save us. I heard a lot of people say he came to save the world, but he didn't come to save the world. The world were perfect. He came to save us. The world hadn't sinned, is us. Well, you would think that we will be grateful for what he have done, but we wasn't, and we still light. Some of us not. I can't say all of us like that, but we still not willing to do what God have called us to do. Well, you need to know who Jesus was. He just didn't come down here on this to be just coming, because Jesus had not sinned at no time. He was in the perfect place in heaven. The story said that he asked the Father to come, and the Father did send him. But one name that all the attention that I have read in the Bible, one name that came up many times to me, Jesus. That was a special name of Jesus. Well, what you mean, Dr. Kim? What you mean a special name of Jesus? Well, Jesus just didn't come down here just to become it. He came because when God sent him, he came to do a few things for us. Well, what you mean he came to do just a few things for you? When I was reading this, it came to me when the thief was on the cross that they realized what they have did. And they were saying, Jesus, this man ain't did anything wrong. We did what we did. We were guilty of what we did. But this man, Jesus, had not did none of these. Well, it looks like I'm going back and forth, but I need to let you know who he was and why he came. Jesus came to give us joy. J for joy. He came to give us eternity. And he came because our sin, you and I was doing to save us. That's why he came. No other name can you can spell and give out than Jesus. No other greater than, wow, he sent on that old rugged cross. He didn't have to die for us. But when they got carried, he had to carry that old cross on that obscure mountain. He fell to the knees and looked in the good Samaritan eyes, and he knew who he was. Because the Bible tells us the soul is what? Carried in our eyes. Is that right, Pastor? So in other words, Jesus just didn't let anyone carry that cross. He couldn't stop them, but he knew who he was. Yes, there were two thieves on the cross. And one of them was trying to pick it, and one of them was trying to say that if you are the Son of God, come down and save us. I wondered that he knew who he was talking to. There, one of the thieves said, when you get to your father's house, remember me. Even though that he was a thief, he knew, seemed to me, he knew who Jesus was. It's a great thing that we can praise to him. You know, me, sometimes I get mixed up my preaching sometimes. I get kind of lost in it. But when I think about joy, when I think about eternity, I think about the Savior, what you and I was doing to save us. It brings me back to life. But when he said, Father, forgive them, they know now what they do. You know, simple reason, what will we give up? Will we give up our children to die for us or die for this world? Did they not know who they were crucifying? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You know,
He did, he came, and he did what he's supposed to do. And he left asking, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. No greater name than Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can do better than that. Come on and give God some more praise. Amen. Truly, God is worthy of all of the praise. Give Dr. Kimball again. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. Amen. We're looking at the prayer part of the last seven sayings of Jesus. Amen. Thank you again, Dr. Kimball, for those wonderful words of encouragement. Amen. Moving right along, word number two. Amen. Which can be found in the book of Luke. Amen. The 23rd chapter again. Amen. And it can be found there in verse 43. Verse 43 reads, And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. We're going to ask at this time if Elder Bradshaw would come and give us our second saying of the last seven sayings of Christ tonight. Amen. Give him a hand as he comes.
Come on, Lord, you and the Holy Spirit, y'all, let's have some church. Storm is passing over, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah tonight, saints. Well, hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord tonight. Bless the Lord tonight, saints. Bless the Lord tonight, saints. Bless the Lord tonight. Y'all act like y'all didn't have nowhere to go tonight, so y'all just came and just go set up in New Hope. That's what it looked like to me. Amen, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God been good to me. Elder James, all day long, he been good to me. I ought to have somebody ought to be a witness. Amen. Somebody shout glory tonight. Glory tonight. Praise the Lord up in this camp tonight. Pastor Lane, God been just walking and talking with me, Pastor, all day long. I just can't say sit down and just can't say nothing about it. I'm going to run for all of y'all that ain't going. Well, bless the Lord tonight. Bless the Lord tonight. I'm gonna take advantage of the privilege that I have in my eldership. Amen. I'm going to take advantage of that tonight. Well, what is that you going to do, Bradshaw? I'm going to just say my little saying and sit down. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor Steed and Elder Kimball, praise the Lord who has given us the first word, Doctor, and to Reverend Kitchens. The saying word. Tonight, second word, what? The dying thief saw. Luke chapter 23, verse 43. Verily I say unto you, I'm getting ready to go home and I'm going to take you with me. In essence, that's what the Lord said. Do I have a witness in the church tonight? Y'all come here. Come over, help me tonight, and I'll be through. That's what he said. That's what he said. There were some folk that was around, and all of the army of Rome was around him. Though the centurions and everybody, they were around looking, praise the Lord. And they wasn't the only one that was looking, praise the Lord. And the scripture tells us that there were two male factors, praise the Lord. And he was in the middle of them. There was one on the left, and there was one on the right. I ought to have a witness in the church tonight. And not only was the crowd talking, not only was the centurion talking, but the thieves were having a conversation about him who was in the middle. Do I have a witness in the church? Praise the Lord. Yeah. They were having a conversation, Pastor Lane, and they began one to the other to have this conversation about Jesus. About Jesus. The crowd was saying, if he who he say he is, let him come down and save himself. And the crowd's conversation rung out so loud that the one on the left, that's rung it up, say, if he is who he say he is. Come on down, and I know if you come down, you're going to save you, and you ain't going to leave us up here hanging. I ought to have a witness here in the church. Praise the Lord. And that was the one on the right, and the one on the right kind of, I don't know how he did it. But I can't. Can I use my imagination here for just the next 5 minutes, y'all? Praise the Lord. I think the one on the left kind of leaned forward from the cross and looked around Jesus at the one that was on the right and said, "Negro, don't you know who he is? Look at us. We up here because of the mess we made. The messes we got ourselves in, that's why we're up here." Praise the Lord. Thief on the right, first thing he saw the justice of his own punishment. He getting what's coming to him. Can I get a witness? That's what he's doing. He getting what's coming to them. You know who we are. That's what he told the one on the left. Yeah, you know what we used to do. We used to do it together. I go in the back door, you go in the front door. Somebody ought to say amen. And we divide in the middle what we got at the house and go on to the man and get our little money. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why we up here. We tried to run, but we couldn't hide. Somebody ought to say amen in the church tonight. Then he saw, what else did he see as I hurry along? He saw the sinless character of Jesus. The one on the right said, "Look at him. There's a difference between me, him, and you." Praise the Lord. Can I get a witness in the church? He ain't done nothing. We messed up our lives. This man has done nothing. Can I get a witness? Then he said, "Father," yeah, Jesus Christ, you look like you somebody. Can I get a witness? Coming up the Vela de la Rosa, the road to the skull, praise the Lord, there was somebody carrying his cross. We had to carry our own. Somebody ought to say amen. So he looked like somebody. Can I get a witness? Yeah. And then here he is, praise the Lord. Here he is on the cross, praise the Lord. And he looked like he's a king. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness here? I know you ain't done nothing wrong, because you're dying like you ain't done nothing wrong. And then he saw a living Christ beyond the grave. Can I get a witness? He saw somebody that when they put him in the grave and when he get up, he going somewhere. Can I get a witness? Because I heard him say, yeah, I know I was sneaking around, but I heard him say I went to a preaching revival, and he said, "My kingdom ain't of this world." Y'all ought to help me here tonight. I'll be through. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And then the thief say, "Father Jesus, when you get to your kingdom, I need you to do something. I need you to do something when you get to the kingdom. Say you're hanging like a king. You're looking like a king. You're dying like a king. So when you get to the kingdom, if you're looking, dying like a king ought to have a kingdom when you get there. I'm going to preach anyway. I'm going to tell you, I got about 3 minutes left, then I'm gone. 2 minutes, y'all. When you get to your kingdom, I need you to do something. I know you're going to talk to your father. Hallelujah. I know you're going to do that, but after you have a conversation with your father, remember me when you get there. Remember me when you get there. When you get there, remember me. Y'all don't hear me tonight. And that lets us know tonight, brothers and sisters, that there is a kingdom beyond the cross. Can I get a witness? There's a kingdom beyond the cross. They're going to take him down. Can I get a witness here tonight? And as I go to my seat tonight, one thief was saved. Y'all hear me tonight? One thief was saved, so I don't have to worry about it. Y'all don't hear me tonight. I don't have to worry about it because he saved one. Can I get a witness? The other one, he died and he went to hell. So don't think you're going because you are you. Y'all don't hear that tonight. Don't think because you are you. You think you somebody on your way. You're talking about you going to heaven anyhow. Some of us, that's how we're going to get there anyhow. Sure won't be by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going home one day. I ain't going anyhow. I'm going by the grace of an almighty God.
Amen. Come on and give Elder Bradshaw a hand. Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise
Testing. Amen. That's much better. Amen. Again, give Elder Bradshaw a hand. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for that wonderful word. Today, you shall be with me in paradise. There is a kingdom beyond the cross. Amen. 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 A third saying tonight. Amen. It's found in the book of John, the Gospel of John. John, the 19th chapter. John, the 19th chapter. Amen. John, the 19th chapter, beginning at verse 26. It reads, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son." Verse 27 says, "Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother." And from that hour, the disciples took her unto his own home. Amen. At this time, we're going to ask Evangelist Pimpton if she would come and give us Our third word tonight, behold thy son, behold thy mother, John 19. Amen. Preach tonight, my sister. Give her a hand as she come.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. I don't like coming behind Bradshaw, but, you know, he could have finished us on out, right? Amen. But we bless the Lord tonight. In the book of John, chapter 19, and I'll look at verse 16. He says, when Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then he said to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. As I'm reading this, I'm thinking that Jesus, he was in a state to where he wanted to provide for his mother. It was custom that the son takes care of his mother after the father has passed. So Jesus' job was to take care of his mother, because biblical scholars have said Joseph, who was Jesus' father, Mary's husband, was probably already dead, because the last time Joseph was mentioned was when Jesus was 12 years old. Now, if Joseph, who was Jesus' father, Mary's husband, was alive at the time of the crucifixion, Jesus would have never gave a disciple his own mother. So in Jesus' love for his mother, he's concerned about who's going to take care of mama after I'm gone. He knows his duty is to care for her, but he also knows that he's dying and he's getting ready to leave her. So Jesus looks down. Can you imagine? He sees his mother standing next to the disciple, and in his agony and in his pain, in his selfless love, all he can think about is what's going to happen to my mama. So on the cross, Jesus begins to make arrangements for his mother. He charges one of the disciples to take care of his mother as if she was his own. So Jesus says, woman, behold your son. Notice Jesus didn't call her mother. He called her woman. Now, as a mother, I begin to think, can you imagine witnessing your son in agony and in pain, hanging on a cross, and then you still have to hear him call you mama? Jesus had to know that if he had called her mother, it would have been too much pain for her to bear. So he says woman instead of mama. So when he says woman, behold thy son, he was saying, don't look at me, but look at the disciple standing next to you, because he's going to be your son now. So he tells the disciple, behold your mother. What was Jesus saying? She is your mother now. I am leaving my mama with you. It is amazing how Jesus loves and trusts his disciples. Because when you love somebody and you trust them, you know they'll take care of whatever it is that you trust, right? So you wouldn't even have to worry about that. Jesus left his mother with somebody he trusted. Some of us hang around folks we can't trust with 50 cents, let alone our own mama. So Jesus, he's dying on the cross, but he's handling family business, because he made sure his mother was good. Some of us are not handling our family business. And I'm not talking about getting ready to meet the Lord, but GoFundMe accounts. That's not handling family business. You need to make sure that everybody else around you, your family, is taken care of when you leave. And I'm done this evening. God bless you.
Come on and give God some praise for Evangelist Pimpton. Amen. I'm like, Pastor, if you're not careful, you'll miss her message. Praise God. Give her another hand. Amen. Just take a moment, just for a moment, reminisce in your mind. Jesus there on that cross. It was on Good Friday. Had it not been for Good Friday, there wouldn't be no resurrection morning. It was on Good Friday where he went. I think one writer said he went before the Sanhedrin. And it was on Good Friday where they marched him to Golgotha's hill. And tonight, just reminisce just for a moment as we celebrate these last seven sins. Just reminisce the agony, the pain that Jesus went through, all because to redeem mankind. Amen. Aren't you happy? Aren't you happy? Amen. We ought to act like we're happy that Jesus came to save a sinner like us. The songwriter says, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. Amen. Give Minister Pimpton another hand. Amen. Amen. Our fourth saying tonight, amen, is found in the Bible in Matthew, the 27th chapter. Matthew, the 27th chapter. Amen. Verse 46. Matthew, the 27th chapter. Verse 46. It reads, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Amen. At this time, we're going to call on my favorite friend here lately. He can sit there if he want to. You can sit there. We'll bring the mic to you. Amen. We're going to call on Reverend James to come and give us. Amen. I think this is his first time back in church since, amen, he took the fall. Give him a hand as he comes. Amen. Amen. So happy to see him tonight. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen.
And that sacred head for such a worm as I at the cross where I first saw the light. And the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. Yeah! Yeah, at the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light. You know, the 46th verse of Matthew is about light. You see in verse 45, the Bible tells us that from the sixth to the ninth hour, that's 3 hours if you can't count, the sun refused to shine. You see, the sun refusing to shine was heaven's response to the unsightly behavior of the crowd that were witnesses to the crucifixion. And so, when light showed up again, we find out that wondrous light represented the birth of Jesus. We find that in Matthew 2:2. But now we have a wondrous darkness, and it is a certification of his death. And why did he deserve so much attention? He was the light of the world.
Of the world. Yes, yes.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And the darkness from the sixth to the ninth hour was a heavenly design to quiet the, is that better? All right. The darkness from 6 to 9 was a heavenly design to quiet those voices. Because heaven didn't like it. And it's something, three preachers came before me. And boy, they sure had power. They had power. And see, that heavenly design was powerful. Who do you know that in daylight can suddenly make the sun refuse to shine? That's power. You know, if you don't believe it, just step outside and look all around you. And you can say, that's power. Huh? Well, anyway, it had a terrifying effect on those people that were making all that noise. And they remained quiet until the ninth hour. Huh? But when the light came out again, you know, they started acting like Pharaoh on the first Passover. You know, they got, their hearts were what? Hardened. Yeah, that's the word. Their hearts were hardened. And they started acting just like nothing had happened. Huh? Yeah, I was getting ready to say, we've been guilty. Huh? I remember all them whoopings I used to get without the little.
I ain't gonna do it no more. I ain't gonna do it. Oh, my God.
2 days later. sometime 2 minutes later. Huh? Back at it. And it's remarkable. A lot of times, we're kind of like Reverend Pemberton's sermons. We read the Bible, but we don't get what we just read. We're sitting there, and the story is over. You know, the credits are up on the screen. We didn't get it. But anyway, oh, I'm a preacher. I sure do miss preaching. I do. You know, like this is the first time I've been in church since I did that Humpty Dumpty thing. But luckily, all the king's horses and all the king's men knew what they were doing. Because when I was looking at the walls and, you know, trying to see who had qualifications to do what. Huh? But, you know, God, he loved Jesus, his son. But he didn't love Jesus, the substitute for our sin. He did. You know, he sent him to do it. And everything but when he actually done it. See, that's what's the thing about the darkness. See, in the darkness, that's when the transfer took place. When Jesus signed his name on the contract and said, I'll take it. You know, he said he was going to take it all along. But it didn't become a done deal until he signed his name on the contract. How many of you know, boy, when you put your name on the contract, it's a done deal. You know? And when you marry Bill, married Bill, right? They give you that same thing that they give you when you get married to the opposite sex. They say, until death. Until death do you part. So Jesus signed the contract, and the contract has said what? Until death do you part, because the wages of sin are what? But why do we keep sinning if we know that? Oh, yeah, that Romans 7 will shake you up. It'll shake you up. Because we do what we don't want to do. But anyway, God couldn't love his son because he was now a representation of sin. And that representation would not wear off until he died. Now, he loved him as his son, but when he had sin hanging on him, he did not love it. He did not love it. You know, Jesus, when he came out of the wilderness and he was just all beat up from his experience, he needed some help, and God sent him an angel to minister to him. Huh? When he was in Gethsemane, when he had sweat dripping off of him like blood, God sent him what? An angel to minister to him. But now he had taken on the sins of the world, and he didn't hear from heaven Period. Boy, you know that had to be. No. It was tougher than 3 hours. It was from that time until after. Death. Yeah. Death was the only thing that had him here from heaven. Because if you remember, when it got up out the grave, an angel was there. Because, see, the curse was over. He had done what was required. But when heaven rejected him, it was the hardest thing that Jesus had to do in his ministry on this earth. But his father forsook him. But, you know, Jesus wasn't one to complain. When they beat him, he didn't complain. When they spit on him, he didn't complain. When they nailed him to the rugged cross, he didn't complain. When his disciples turned their backs on him, he didn't complain. It was only when his father forsook him, he had to cry out, Father!
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 Yes, sir.
Why? How many times have you asked that question? Why? I mean, I remember this commercial they used to have. They said, why? Ask why. Huh? Because that's what my parents used to tell me when, and they were on their way to get the switch or the belt or whatever else they could get their hands on. And you'd be saying, why? And they'd be saying, why? Ask why. Huh? But Jesus had made up his mind to be a servant of God, to reconcile the world unto him. Yeah. And so even when God forsook him, he was still his God. When he said, my God, my God, even though you have forsaken me, you are still my God. And so, in the days that you feel forsaken, remember what Jesus held on to. You know? He knew that God was still his God no matter what. Huh? See, it might be hard for you, but nothing is too hard.
Yeah.
Help me,
yes,
Jesus.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Nothing's too hard for God.
Yes, sir.
So I'm getting ready to go to my seat. And I just want to say, God has sworn us in as soldiers for the salvation of this world. And when we take on the weight of that assignment, there are surely going to be some times when we think my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Huh? Sometimes it might happen in your church. Sometime it might happen in your family. Sometime it might happen on your job.
Lord Jesus.
Sometime it might happen in the street.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But if it haven't happened to you yet, just keep on living. Amen.
Amen.
We need to hold to God's unchanging hand. We need to hold to the promise that he will never leave us or forsake us. God bless you.
Come on and give Reverend James a hand. Amen. Bless him. God bless you. God bless you. I am so happy to see him, amen, moving as well as he is. Amen. Amen. He lights us up on Saturday nights. Amen. With all that good singing and all that good praying and everything, we thank God for him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Give him a hand. That's He took his seat, moving as young as I am. Amen. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. Everybody sing it with me. God has smiled on me. How many know that? He's been good to me. Why don't you help me sing it? God has smiled on me. He has set me free. Oh, God has smiled on me. Amen. Anybody know that he's been good to you? Amen. You ought to give God some praise tonight.
Amen.
Amen. At Amen. This time, we're going to let you lighten your load a little bit.
There you go.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I know payday was for some of y'all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not me.
Yeah.
But Elder Bradshaw done already talked to me about this. He said, if you need anything, Pastor, he got it covered. Amen. Amen. At this time, we're going to take a little pause. Amen. And let you lighten your pocketbooks just a little bit now. Just a little bit. And I know some of you are heavy. They used to say Friday is payday. Huh?
Yeah, they need a little exercise anyway, so they can stand up and come around tonight.
Amen. Amen. We're gonna ask somebody to give us a little solo if they would. And
amen.
While you're getting your money's ready, amen. Deacon Dillard, our chairman, is coming around with the basket here, and Pastor has asked that if you can,
let them exercise a little bit, so
get up
so
and
they
walk
won't go
around
to sleep.
And will somebody give us a good solo? Amen. Elder?
Amen. Amen. Our ushers will direct us as we come. There is joy in that land. There is joy in that land. There is joy in that land. Where I'm bound, there is joy in that land, there is joy in that land, there is joy in that land, where I'm bound, Come and go to that land. Come and go to that land. Come and go to that land where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Oh, come and go to that land. Come and go to that land. Come and go to that land where I'm bound.
Nothing but joy,
yeah, in that land.
Nothing but joy
in
that land.
Well,
nothing but joy
in that land
where I'm bound, where I'm bound, where there's nothing but joy
in that land.
Yeah, nothing but joy
in that land.
Nothing but joy in that land where I'm bound. Jesus is waiting,
yeah, in that land.
Jesus is waiting
in that land.
Jesus is waiting
in that land
where I'm bound, where waiting
in that land.
Jesus is waiting
in that land.
Jesus is waiting
in that land
where I'm bound. One more time. Peace and happiness
in that land.
Peace and happiness
in that land.
Peace and happiness
in that land.
Where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Well, there's peace and happiness
in that land.
Peace and happiness
in that land.
Peace and happiness
in that land
where I'm bound.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these blessings that we receive. Father,
you.
We ask that you clean them up, Father. Multiply them for lifting up your kingdom, Father.
Yes,
bless the ones that gave and bless the ones that had not to give. And Father, bless those that had not the heart but the funds to give. Oh, Father, we continue to ask you, Father, guide us in each and every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Come on and give God some more praise. Amen. Truly, God is worthy of all of the praises. As Reverend James was speaking there, my mind reflected back to that word, reconciliation. Isn't it good to know that God is, Jesus has let his son, God has let his son Jesus reconcile us back together to be one? He died for mankind that we might have. That's why we come to celebrate, that we might have that right relationship with him. Amen. Give Reverend James a hand again. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Moving on tonight, our fifth word of the night can be found in the Gospel of John. Amen. The book of St. John. Amen. There in the 19th chapter, look at verse 28, the 19th chapter, verse 28. And it reads, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Amen. With that said, we're going to ask Reverend Donovan if he would come and give us our fifth word of the night. I thirst. Amen. Give him a hand as he comes.
How about that? All right, he's right back. Well, good evening, everyone. Pastor, Reverend Kitchen, and so forth. Members, deacons, tonight you have come again to hear the last words of Jesus. I can sit down now because all these things overlap. When I was in Bible college, we had to condense a book, you know, to a chapter. we had to condense it. We had to have context. Then we had to have the delivery. And then after that, we had to wrap it all up as we condense everything together. So we condense tonight. I thirst. Follow with me. Go with me through the streets of Jerusalem. The crowd, the people were there. They're going to the place called the skull, which is Golgotha. It was about the sixth hour, 12 noon, that it was the darkness, our brothers rightfully says, all over the land until the ninth hour. About 3 o'clock. Within those hours, God was turning his back, his face from his son. Turning there away from him. Why? Because Jesus was bearing the sins and penalty of the world. He bore it all for us. And going right there up to Golgotha's hill and throughout the land, there was a nail that was pounding into his hands and in his feet. There's those Roman soldiers hit the last nail into his feet. They left that cross up to the hole that was prepared for it and put it in. Sinews were drawn. The pain, the suffering that he bore for mankind. He said, no man took my life. I laid down freely. And if I can lay it down, I can take it up again. I can take it up again. But could you imagine the agony, the suffering that he had there? And he cried out, I thirst. I thirst. What was so significant about that? You see, he was the God-man, and he was still God. total human being, and still God. And he bore that sin for us, the penalty. Lord, I have brother say, his father turned his back on him. And beloved, he was human, the human toll. He was feeling. Because he lost so much blood. He lost so much fluid, body fluid. That's why you can cry out, I thirst. His lips were cracked. Yeah. There. And someone, a soldier down below, walked there with a sponge, dip it in vinegar. Give him a thirst, but he turned away. You see, because he wanted to bear everything for you and me. Yes, it was with a hyssop, that plant that he used. He cried out, it is finished. It is finished, he bowed his head and he died. Songwriter says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washes white as snow. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners we plunge beneath that flood. And loose the guilty stain. Oh, yes, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. But I love that cross. You love that cross? The cross. Oh, yes, because he bore it for you and for me. When I came here into the local churches, it was another song. Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood done signed my name. Oh, the blood. Sing it. Done signed my name. The blood of Jesus Christ. I thirst. He cried out, I thirst. Saints, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. My wife, you want to come and help me sing that? Miss Donovan? Oh. When we see Christ, one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So gladly run the race till we see Christ.
Amen. Come on and give Reverend Donovan another hand. Amen. I thirst. Amen. There is a fountain. Feel. Amen. Amen. Thank God for Reverend Donovan again. Amen. Praise God. I thirst. You got Jesus, we should never thirst again. Amen. Because he has everything that we need. Amen. Give him another hand. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. At this time, we're going to move on. Amen. With our sixth word of the night. Amen. Which can be found in that same book, the book of John, the Gospel of John. Amen. There in that same chapter, chapter 19. Amen. Verse 30. It says, when Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Amen. But this time, we're going to ask our minister, Vaughn, amen, to come and give us our sixth word of the night. Amen. Amen. And the last time, y'all, she preached that heaven got happy around here. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
I'll just use this one here. I'm not a walker. I just usually stand here. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank God for my pastor, all the reverend clergy in the house, all my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, and those who are listening in on this evening. What a night, what a night. Good Friday, and all the word of God that have went forth. It's hard to get behind some good preaching and maintain. But you all pray for me. We thank God on tonight. The protocol has been established. And I'm here to do number six from John 19 and 30. And the Bible says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Amen. Maintaining a positive outlook while facing painful and public suffering can be exalting. In this scripture, the path of Jesus's passion and humiliation and his sacrifice points us straight to the heart of God. When we see his passion, we see the Lord go beyond what he is facing, and we see our suffering Savior humble himself unto death. The Bible says in Philippians 2, 6 through 8, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. His public suffering and humiliation and his passion and his sacrifice, it helps you and me to see beyond our suffering. And we discover and realize how our sufferings can become greater moments for God's glory when we see it from the perspective of the cross. The physical agony Jesus had to suffer, the insults from the beneficiaries of his death. He became the object of ridicule from both passerbyers and the religious leaders. Yes, it is real that Satan had and still has the unmitigated gall to really believe that it is and was over for our Creator, Jesus the Christ. What the devil really didn't know was that the public pain that Jesus endured was a setup. And when Jesus said, it is finished, he gave up the ghost, ultimately ending in death for Jesus, was a mechanism and an instrument used to elevate him up to the cross. The Bible says in John 12 and 32, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. They challenged him to come down from the cross, to save himself, and to prove who he came to be. Have not you had people to publicly challenge you and your assignment from the Father? Have you not had people to mock you, insult you, belittle you because they did not understand your assignment or believe in the task that God ordained you to do? The Bible tells us in Mark 15, 29 through 32, those who passed by and insulted him, they shook their heads and said, "What a joke. You were going to tear down God's temple and build it again in 3 days. Come down from the cross and save your own self." The chief priests and the scribes made fun of him among themselves in the same way. They said he saved others, but he can't save himself. No matter what they did to Jesus, he was not distracted. He knew the cup would be bitter. He knew that he would not stay in the grave. Public pain for public victory. Jesus was not on death row. He completed the thing that he spoke of himself. The Bible says in John 10, 17 to 18, "Therefore doeth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. The commandment have I received of my Father." Christ finished the work on the cross and gave every born again believer in Christ Jesus the victory, the V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, in this life and in our eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why we don't have to walk around with a bowed down head. Our Lord and Savior finished the task. It was completed. The sin death is paid in full. Prophecy fulfilled, just as Jesus had promised. You have what it takes to finish the course. It is not time to give up now. When you think you cannot, God can. When you think you are alone, God is with you. You will make it to the finish line. There was a young man named Derek Redmond. He was a British sprinter. And during his career, he ran a lot of track. But Derek Anthony was hurt during one of his 400 meters, and he missed winning the goal. In the 1992 Olympic Games in Barcelona, Redmond tore his hamstring in the 400-meter run. But he continued the race limping. Sometime you got to get up limping. You got to get up with all that you have to finish the race. But what really happened, and what I want you to hear, is that his father was in the stand. His father was there with him. And he came out of the stand to help his son around that track. Good God Jesus, y'all don't hear me tonight. And he helped his son finish the race. And Derek managed to complete a full lap, a track, as the crowd gave him a standing ovation. Although he was disqualified by man, and they actually wrote that he did not finish due to outside interference by his father assisting him to the finish line, he still finished the race. When others disqualify you, they assassinate your character, God will turn your public pain into public victory. Know this, when the race gets tough, when you got to limp to the finish line, know that God is intervening on your behalf. What outside interference? Know that God is blocking your opponent, Satan. The process you went through was necessary. The pain and humility you have endured was necessary. See, Jesus gave up his life voluntarily. He freely gave it up so you and I could live. It is finished. It means that the debt is paid in full. The task is completed. And now what was said has been done and executed to perfection. So from then until Jesus comes back, sin no longer has a grip on us, for the once for all sacrifice for sin is now completed at the cross. God's plan
God's purpose for redeeming the world of its sin was finished at the cross. 1 Peter 1 and 20 said he was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for our sake. The Bible says in John 17, 4 through 5, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work thou have gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Jesus said, it is finished. Jesus had destroyed and demolished the power of Satan, the power of sin, and the power of death. Good God, Jesus, hallelujah. I want to encourage someone today that on tonight, if you got to get to the finish line, limp your way through. You got to get to the finish line scratching, creaming, and crying. Run on, my brother. Run on, my sister. Finish the race. Jesus paid it all. You're not alone. The Holy Spirit is walking side by side with you. Fix your eyes on the prize, Jesus the Christ, and celebrate him. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Philippians says in 3 and 14, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The cross was not a defeat. It was not a loss for Jesus. It was the completed work of salvation paid in full. Do not let the obstacles in your way decide whether you finish the assignment or the task that is set before you. It's not too late. Your assignment has not been aborted. And all the ammunition that Satan brings your way will not stop you from crossing the finish line. Only the Lord can write your narrative. He knows your beginning from your end. Satan did not write your story, and therefore he cannot finish it. Your public pain will not be in vain. It will bring you to the winner's circle in victory. How many of you know the devil's already defeated? It's already finished. It is finished that the Lord has suffered. The storm is over. The worst is past. And the joy is set before him. And all of us who suffer with the Lord, comfort yourselves with this, that this too shall pass. Yet in a little while, for it is well with our soul. Take a deep breath. There's a brighter day ahead. It is finished. Oh, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. It is finished. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. It is finished. Salvation has come to the world through Jesus Christ, him crucified, and his resurrection power. The blood of Jesus at the cross, a bloody cross, but it is finished. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is finished.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Come on and give Minister Vaughn a hand. It is finished. Amen.
Glad I don't have to preach tonight.
Amen. How many know that is finished? Huh? Paid in full. Our salvation. Free gift. We no longer have to be concerned because it is paid in full. Come on and give Minister Vaughn a hand clap of praise. Amen. I love the way she put it. Sometimes you go down limping, and sometimes you got to get up limping, but victory is still in the ultimate hands of Jesus. Amen. I often think about this. When she spoke about limping, I think about the number three. Number three. You know, the Bible teaches us that There are three patriarchs in the Bible, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It also teaches us, history does, that there are three dimensions of time, past, present, and the future. The Bible also teaches us that it was from the sixth to the ninth hour, 3 hours, that Jesus was placed on the cross. But it also lets us know that Jesus said, that's why it is finished. That's why it is finished. He said, destroy this body, and in 3 days, I'll rise again. Amen. Give Minister Vaughn another hand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 This time, our seventh saying and final saying of the night, amen, can be found in Luke, the 23rd chapter, amen, verse 46. Luke, the 23rd chapter, verse 46. And my phone went dead. That's why them electronics. Amen. Amen. Luke, the 23rd chapter. Amen. Amen. All right, it's on the monitor. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Amen. Luke 23:46. At this time, we're going to ask Reverend Lane, Jermaine Lane, if he would come and give us our last word of the night. Give him a hand as he come tonight. Amen. How you doing, preacher?
Thank you. From Luke, the 23rd chapter, verse 46, I will be reading from the Message Bible. And it says, Father, I place my life in your hands. For the next 6.5 minutes, family, I want to talk about, this is my last time asking you for a ride.
All right. All right. All right.
This is my last time asking you for a ride.
All right. All right. Help us tonight.
On April the 1st, in San Francisco police officer pulled over a car for an unknown traffic violation. As he approached the vehicle, the officer realized that no one was driving the Chevy Bolt. This particular car was being operated by an autonomous driving company called Cruise. It created a perplexing and somewhat humorous situation for the officer. There was no license and registration requests. No, sir, do you know why I pulled you over? No, sir, could you please step out of the vehicle? The driverless vehicle resulted in a confused and lack of accountability. As a result, the car eventually drove away with no citation. My brothers and sisters, I wish these results was just as benign when no one seems to be at the wheel of religious institutions, of educational institutions, nonprofit, and also athletic organizations. But it's even worse, my brothers and sisters, when no one seems to be at the wheel of our own personal life. When you allow a weak, impotent, or even absent person to drive you to your destination, the results can be disastrous. Since I'm never gonna ask you for a ride again, there are three things that I'll never have to pay for. The first one is, I'll never have to pay for gas for you again. Because paying for gas means that I'm giving you petroleum that allows you to get where you're going to go to. So in other words, I'm always pumping you up. In other words, I'm always encouraging you. In other words, I'm always paying for your food. In other words, I'm always taking care of you. Since I'm not asking you for a ride anymore, I'm not responsible for you being happy. I'm not responsible for your joy. I'm not responsible for your peace. Since I'm not going to ride with you anymore, I'm not responsible for making sure you feel good in the morning. Do me a favor. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm not paying for your gas no more. Because most people are in a relationship and you think that the other person is supposed to make you happy. Here's what I want you to do. If you're single, I need for you to get dressed and take your own self out to eat. Oh, you missed it. That went over your head. You ain't got to have nobody to pay for your lunch or your dinner. Take your own self. Love yourself first. Man, first thing, I never got to pay for no more gas to ride with you again. The second thing I got to pay for, I never have to pay for your tires again. Never have to pay for your tires again, because tires, when they get on, my granddaddy used to call them May Pops. When the tires were bald, and because they were May Pop, they may pop anytime that you ride, that you driving them. See, I'm tired of hanging around people that if I say something, they may pop them. They may snap at me. I never know, because you feel good today and then you feel bad 5 minutes later. You're schizophrenic. I don't know. Since I never have to pay for your tires again, I never have to worry about you changing on me. Because I was good for you 6 months ago, but now I'm the worst thing you ever met. Do me a favor. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm never buying no more tires for you again. The third thing I never, ever, 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 never, ever we have to pay for again is the oil change. It's the oil change, because we all know that the engine is what drives the car. But the engine has to be oiled up. In other words, I don't know. You can have a $250,000 vehicle, but if you fail to get that oil change, that car won't be going anywhere. And there are some people in here this morning. I know some of you have just started going back to the sanctuary. But let me tell you something. A lot of you have been operating on your gifts and not your anointing. Because the engine has to be oiled up. It's all right you can sing. It's all right you can preach. But let me tell you something. When the anointing leaves the house, that's why the prophet had to go down and anoint the king. He put the anointing oil on the first son and it didn't run. He anointed 5 other boys and it didn't work. He asked the daddy, he said, do you have? He said, yes, I got one more, but that son is working. Let me help you with something. Just because the Negro look good, just because he smell good, listen, you better figure out if you got a job or not. See, David was employed while the other boys just look good. The oil ran down on him. And he said, that's the one that God wants to anoint. In Luke, the 23rd chapter, in the 46th verse, it says, when Jesus had cried with a loud voice. Sometimes, family, you got to make some noise. It's all right to have a little pity, pat praise sometimes. But sometimes you got to yell out loud like Jesus did when he was on the cross. And he said he did something that each and every one of us need to do in this room on tonight. Release and let God handle it. Release and let God fight it. Release and let God control it. This is the time in scripture where he's on the cross. Everything is finished. His earthly mission is complete. And now he yells, Father, I'm going to give you my hand. You didn't get it. You didn't get it. You missed it. He said, I'm going to give you my hand. See, you need to start being transparent with yourself. Honest with the way that you are. You need to start being translucent with yourself. Allowing people to see who you are. And you need to be transformational. The ability to change who you are. Jesus, when he was on the cross and I'm done, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, Pastor Lane, finna get out of here. Raise your hands. And he did. He did something. He did exactly what the officer thought the person was going to do when he arrived at the car. Raise your hands to surrender. But no one was there. Oh, I like it. I love it. I love it. Because the reason why you don't have to raise your hands is because Jesus has already done it for you. Allow Jesus to drive your vehicle. Get out of the driver's seat. As a matter of fact, get in the trunk. You don't even need to see where he's going. Just allow him to take you where you need to go. And let him drop you off where you need to be dropped off. And I promise you, it'll be all right. Do me a favor as I get ready to take my seat. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, this is my last time asking you for a ride.
Come on and give Pastor Lane a hand. Amen. This is my last time asking you for a ride. Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Amen. What a powerful word. Jesus realized that it was all over, and he left it in the hands of the Father. Amen. Come on and give God some praise tonight. We're going to ask our pastor if he would come, and the invitation will be offered, and then we will move from there.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Behold thy son, thy mother. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I thirst. It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Oh, what a Savior we have that suffered so on the cross that we might have life. Amen. You have to think about that for a few moments, because he did what we couldn't do. Gave his life for us. His life was pure. We couldn't give our life because we was unworthy. But thanks be to God, amen, that he gave his life for us. Well, let's give everybody another hand clap of praise tonight. Eh? Did such a wonderful, wonderful job tonight. Amen. I thank Reverend Kitchen, amen, for setting us up. Amen, and did a wonderful job. Amen. But tonight, just in case there's somebody here that have listened to all what Jesus has done for us and now decide that you want to give your life into the hands of the Lord. If Jesus would commit himself into the hands of the Father, don't you think we should commit ourselves into the hands of Jesus, the one who is sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us all the time? So if you're here tonight, we're going to allow you a chance. If you want to give your life to Jesus, now is a good time. On the night, on the day that he gave his life for us, this is a good time for you to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight, come unto Jesus while you have time. Come unto Jesus. Make up your mind. He will make your life brand new. For he will take care of you. Come to Jesus while you have time. There'll be another. Come to Jesus while you have time. Get in a hurry tonight. Come unto Jesus. Make up your mind. He will make your life brand new. For he will take care of you. Come to Jesus while you have time. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. You might be seated. We thank God that his doors are always open. And one have come tonight. Amen. As we thank God for the opportunity, amen, to be able to seek him for ourselves. Amen. So tonight, praise God, as we together, we happy to see First Lady Span and her daughter here tonight. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming and being a part. Amen. All right. Let us hear from my clerk at this time. Okay. All right. All right. Austin, we're so glad to have you to come and want to unite with this, the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that we can be the church family that help you grow and mature in the Lord. Amen. We had a conversation the other day, and she's been through some things. Amen. One day she might give you her testimony. Amen. It might be a blessing to you. But we thank God that you decided to join the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. May God bless you and may God keep you. Amen. And we will be, amen, in touch with you. God bless you. All right. Thank you so much. Amen. Church, say amen. Say amen again. Praise God. Praise God. Again, we thank all of these great ministers, amen, that has blessed us tonight. Truly, I've been blessed, amen, when they preach and make me want to preach. Amen. It makes you feel good. Amen. It was so good to see my friend, Reverend James, here tonight. Amen. Praise God. And Reverend Lane, we haven't seen him in a while. Amen. Thank God for you tonight. Amen. Elder Bradshaw, I was asking him if he had still had anything left, because he was over at Mount Zion First there in Smyrna on Wednesday night. And, you know, they're looking for a pastor. And I was wondering if he was trying to get on the list. Amen. Praise God. All right. Well, we thank all of you for being here tonight. And perhaps all of those that might be listening in tonight, if they are recording it, we thank you, amen, for you being a part of this service tonight. May the Lord bless you and keep you, amen. We're not going to hold you. We're getting out in good time, amen. So we, again, thank each and every one for being here and being a part. Again, we thank Reverend Kitchen for putting together such a great program. Amen. If all minds are clear, let us stand as we get ready to leave tonight. Amen. And we hope that you will meet us back here on Sunday morning for Resurrection Day. Amen. Easter Sunday morning. Amen. Praise God. Everybody say amen. Everybody say amen. 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 Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, rest through and abide us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let every heart say, Amen. Praise God. Have a good night. Get home safe. Be careful out there. Amen. Drive for that other person, because they ain't watching sometimes.